First of all, I just want to say again, it is such a blessing to be with you, and I've gotten to meet so many of you already, and I just want to congratulate you on being here. How many of you found that it was a little bit of a struggle to even get here? Can I see your hands? How many of you are this is your very first writers' conference to ever go to? Could I just see your hands? We are of kindred spirits, girlfriends and guys. Verna asked me to tell you a little bit about how I got started writing. And it is such a funny story, and it's such an incredible story of God's handiwork and how he just seriously takes the foolish things of the world that he can use. And some of you are looking at me kind of funny. Verna didn't introduce me. I am from Texas, so if you can't understand my Texas accent, you just wave and let me know, because Verna said, oh, just tell about yourself. I'll tell you very briefly, excuse me, my husband Keith and I have been married for 36 years plus. I know it, isn't that wonderful? He's a good guy. He's a state district judge in the Kerrville area, in four counties where I'm from. We have two adult children, two grandbabies, and one on the way. I have been teaching the Bible and speaking for as long as I can remember, ministering primarily to women for over 35 years. My passion is to teach the Word of God. And the story of how I came to end up being a writer is all by God's design. It's his perfect will, and it's his perfect work. Because I, unlike so many of you, never ever had the tiniest inkling of a desire to write two sentences. It just was not even on my radar. How many of you could say the same thing and say, see your hands real big? Well, then you'll be interested in Surprised by Writing, which is two of my workshop topics. Because for people like us that didn't have any training, any education in writing, it was a very different experience from some of those of you who, like David was telling me, knew that he wanted to write from the time that he was a young person. So it's a different experience. Again, it's all God's glory. Let me just share with you a little bit what my story was, since that's what Verna asked me to share with you about my writing experience. I was asked to speak and be a part of what was called the Women Reaching Texas Task Force for my state's denomination. So I agreed to do that. It was an evangelistic outreach to help women in Texas come to know Christ more effectively. While there, we were discussing different tools and mechanisms that could be used to help women learn how to share their faith with those who did not know Christ. And in that process, I mentioned that I felt like it would be good if a tool was developed that would help women not just learn a technique of sharing their faith, but if they could actually be in the Word of God doing a Bible study so they could learn how Christ shared his faith, how Paul shared his faith, and while they were in the Word, then they would learn those skills and techniques. They would follow Christ's patterns and the disciples' patterns. So the team turned to me and said, that is a great idea, and why don't you write it? So that was my first time to ever be asked to write something. I took it to the Lord. I believed that God did impress on my heart that I was supposed to do that. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. How many of you in here are teachers but have never written anything? Do we have any Bible teachers in here? It is a totally different experience to speak than to write, and I have great admiration for all of you who are published authors. Let me see who's a published author in here. Great admiration, because I can stand up here and talk and maybe not use the correct punctuation, Sally, but I can't do that in writing. So it is a whole different set of skills that I quickly learned to appreciate those who write. After writing Discovering His Passion, or actually in the process of writing Discovering His Passion, God placed on my heart to become a poet. And so I found that I was composing poems, and they were a part of each of my chapters. One morning, I even discovered all of a sudden that I was writing children's poems, and I wrote rub-a-dub-dub Bible poems for the tub. And Peter walked on water. Jesus kept him up. When he took his eyes off Jesus, Peter went kerplunk. And we were just, all of a sudden, all of these fun things were developing. About the same time, I had asked God what was the greatest gift I could give my children, who were about 3 and 5. And he impressed on my heart that the greatest gift I could give them was to have the desire and the discipline to come and meet him with him first thing every morning. My question was, God, how do I do that? And he put on my heart, kids time. And he developed a wonderful A to Z activity book, devotional activity book for children 3 to 5 years old. And my children loved it. And then the class I was teaching at that time, it was about 450 women through BSF. And so they started asking me for kids time. They also at the same time started asking me for a prayer journal that I had developed. And my prayer journal, once again, was developed when I went to God on my knees and said, God, how can I organize my prayer requests and the requests that are given to me? Have you ever had the experience where somebody came to you and they said, oh, Dean, would you please pray about this situation? And you assured me that you would pray. And then you saw them maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks later and they say, oh, thank you for praying for me. And they tell you what happened and you had forgotten. Anybody in here have that happen? And that was happening to me more and more because my ministry was expanding. During that whole time, I had also gone to my pastor and said, help, what do I do? Because I was speaking, I was teaching, I was raising kids and all this stuff. And he's the one that suggested I start a nonprofit ministry. So that was started in 1999. But when I went to the Lord with this prayer journal, or asked him how I could organize my prayer request, he very, very sweetly prompted on my heart that instead of prayer requests being just listed where it's Jane, diagnosis for her test, Bob, get a job, Carolyn, Mark, stay married, instead of just listing down this, he was like, put it in a spreadsheet. So I am on my knees in my little house with my ruler out, drawing lines across a piece of paper and developing a prayer journal where I put the names of family members and friends, church, ministry of the United States, across the top, and just putting the sound bites of prayer requests there. So then I could go and I could look under my daughter's name, Lauren, and see how God was answering her prayers quickly, highlight when they were answered, and didn't have to re-record if it was the same request over a period of days or weeks. Again, people started asking me for my prayer journal. So this little thing that we bound together started being used. We spoofed it up a little bit. I had a friend who helped me with some graphic designs. It was made much prettier. And I was using this prayer journal and sharing with people. One day I happened to be speaking in the Houston area, and my sister was with me, and we decided to go visit Beth Moore's Sunday school class. Have you ever visited Beth Moore's Sunday school class? No, some of you know, but you know who I'm talking about, don't you? So we were there, and after I spoke on the Saturday night, we visited her class on Sunday morning. Afterwards, I started to turn and leave, and my sister said, Debbie, don't you want to go and say hello to Beth Moore? And I said, no. And she said, well, you don't? And I said, no. I said, she's just a Bible teacher, you know, like any Bible teacher. Well, no. That was not true. She was a very special woman anointed by God. It would have been very appropriate for me to have gone up and said, thank you for the good work you're doing for the kingdom, right? But no, there was this little thing of pride going on in me. Have you ever experienced that? So I said no. I turn around, and I start to walk out the back of the door, and my sister asked me again, Debbie, you really don't want to go meet Beth Moore and say hi? And I was like, no. I am headed to the door, and the Holy Spirit gets hold of my heart, grabs me like this, and says, you go and you tell her thank you for the work that she is doing for the kingdom. So I don't know if you've ever had the Holy Spirit just get hold of your heart and say you apologize to somebody or you go back or you make that phone call or whatever, but the Holy Spirit got hold of my heart and grabbed me. So I turn around and I slink to the back of the room where she was and I stand in line with everybody else. And so finally I get there and she says, hello. And I say, hello. I just want to thank you for the work that you're doing for the kingdom of God. And she looks down and she says, oh, that is so pretty. What is that in your hand? And I said, this is my prayer journal. And she said, that is just so pretty. And I said, well, you can have it. I had an extra copy because my sister had thought that it would be a nice idea if the church there would start carrying the prayer journal. She always had this marketing mind, for those of you who know Sally. She was always looking for a venue for my Bible studies and resources to go. And so I just say, Beth, I would love for you to have it. So I give it to Beth. I get in the car and I think, she's going to put that thing in the trash. You know, she'll never look at it again. I go home and it's the next morning. And I always begin my mornings on my knees in prayer. So I'm on my knees by my little blue chair. And all of a sudden, God is just like, Debbie, because I'm thinking about the fact that Beth Moore has that prayer journal. And he's like, Debbie, did it ever occur to you that maybe I want Beth to have that prayer journal because it will also help organize her prayer life? And I was just like, no, you know, really. But it was just such a strong impression, so I started praying. Because you know how many times you'll get a book and you'll take it and you don't open it? It sits there. And so I just began praying. I said, Lord, if this prayer journal can help Beth Moore organize her prayer life, then just prompt her to open it and to read it and to take the time to look at how it's organized and to use it. About 2 weeks later, I go in my office and my administrator says, well, you're not going to believe who called this morning. And I said, well, you know, let's not play games. Who? And she said, Beth Moore. And she just ordered 25 or however many prayer journals to give for all of her volunteers for Christmas presents this year. And she wanted to make sure that we don't call back and talk to the receptionist or anybody because she wants it to be a surprise for them at their volunteer appreciation deal. Well, I called Beth and said, thank you, you know, whatever. And she wrote back just this sweet little note on the Living Proof letterhead that said, thanks, sister, for the prayer journal. I love it, or whatever it now says on the little outside of the prayer journal. I tell you all that to say a couple of things. First of all, I believe with all my heart that this is a holy convocation, that you are Christians who have come to a Christian Writers Conference. I believe with all my heart that every one of you has a message. You have something to say. You have something that can be a benefit not just to yourself but to others. It may be that it's just used within your family. It may be that it's used within a larger circle. It may be that the Lord wants to direct your work into the hands of an editor this week or a publisher and it becomes used on a grander scale. But I would encourage you with these two things. First of all, you are very special, and you do have a message. There is no doubt, because you know the King, and so you have his message to share. Second, very important point that I would like to encourage you this week, do not neglect the promptings of the Holy Spirit. If God prompts you, go up and talk to Sally. Hightail it over there, knock down me, talk to Sally. If God says, connect with Den, don't look and say, oh, he just looks too busy right now. You figure out a way to connect with Den. Because God orchestrates divine appointments at events like this, just like he orchestrated a divine appointment for me. I had no idea I was even going to visit Beth Moore's class that morning. I was just there to speak on a Saturday night. But God had a divine work that he was doing in connecting his saints. I had no idea how valuable this little note from Beth thanking me for the prayer journals could be. But in the meantime, what was happening with my life and my ministry was, as I was teaching, I'd written this book for our state convention. It was called Discovering His Passion, which is based on Luke 19:10, for the Son of God, man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And so, after I wrote that particular study, and our class did it, we had about 325 all denominations of ladies that came and attended that class. Well, they all decided that they liked the way I was writing the Bible study better than the curriculum we'd been using, and they asked me to continue writing the material. So I did that. I wrote a study on Luke, A Glimpse of Jesus' Glory. I wrote a study on Peter, How to Live by the Divine Nature, James, Consider It All Joy. And so our class just continued using that material. So many things were happening all at one time, but I decided that, and my board of directors decided that I should go to a writer's conference since it looked like now God was going to have me be writing. I went to the Glorieta Christian Writers Conference in 2003. And I was as green as you could be. First of all, I thought the whole registration process was overwhelming. I couldn't figure out, because we were supposed to already decide which editors and publishers, and I was busy and I didn't have time to study it on that website. And did any of you kind of at first just start to say, oh, I don't know, I don't think I can make it? Did any of you really do that? You did. If you're really busy, sometimes you don't have time to look at all the little squares and figure everything out. And that's where I was. But I finally decided that I needed to just register and show up and do that. The very first night, they had a course, a workshop on how to pitch your book. Do we have that here? Where are you? Verna, do we have that course here, that workshop, how to pitch your book?
Marketing.
Well, my only frame of reference for pitching had to do with a ball. And I sat there on the front row, and I was like, how to pitch a book? I'm telling you, I was so green. Somebody in here said, now what do you do when you meet with some of the editors and the publishers? If there's anybody here and you don't know what that means, you are supposed to be pitching your book, and it's really important how well you pitch it. Amen, some of you editors and publishers, if you're in the room. It makes all the difference how well you pitch that book. They are not interested in you coming up and saying, oh, well, I have this little prayer journal that I really like, and it helps me. And I think maybe it would help, you know, the people that you might publish it for. No. Mm-mm. You've got to have a statistic. You've got to have something specific that makes your material, your manuscript different. It didn't hurt that the very first people that I had a conference with, I went in and I sat down with my little prayer journal and my other things, and I said, hello, I'm Debbie Williams, and this is my prayer journal that Beth Moore has endorsed. I was at the dinner that night. I was flown to West Monroe, Louisiana, the next week or week after that, and offered two book contracts for Prayers in My Heart, a prayer journal that has Beth's little endorsement right there, and also to write a book on prayer, which is this book, Pray with Purpose, Live with Passion. Now, the exciting thing about all this that God quickly showed me, because my ministry's statement of faith is to spread God's word in love. As I mentioned to you, I had never cared about publishing a book. But what God showed me was he could multiply my message so many times over and beyond anything I could do in speaking to 350 women or 450 women or whatever it might be if this book could get into people's hands. And so, again, I applaud you for being here, for wanting to get your message in print so that it can go beyond where your voice or your body could ever go. I'm going to be presenting material from Pray with Purpose, Live with Passion to you during our worship devotionals in the mornings. It's going to be applied to what it means for you and the spiritual and the prayer life of an author. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some of you who are so skilled, such skilled, polished writers. But God is not looking for skilled, polished writers who are just doing their own thing. He needs spirit-filled, humble vessels who are on their knees saying, what do you want me to write? How do you want me to write it? When do you want me to write it? How do you want it organized? And so the spiritual life of an author is critical. And we will be talking about your spiritual life, your walk with God, what you do in regard to praising, what you do in relation to repenting, how yielded you are, and how you can become a more yielded author to the Lord in our morning devotionals. This is the 25th state where I'm taking this material in the form of a conference. It grew from a book to what you can do when you go and you speak, and it becomes a CD so people can then take it. It can become then a PowerPoint presentation. One really sweet thing that happened was on April 2nd, 2008, the Lord woke me up and he said, Debbie, you're not doing everything I want you to do. And so he impressed on my heart that he wanted me to take this conference, Pray with Passion, to a church in every state in the United States. And he did not want me to charge my travel expenses or speaking fees. Now, I'm already a speaker, a Bible teacher. I was already doing that. And typically, churches, they invite you in and they pay your speaking fee and they pay your travel expenses. So when the Lord impressed on my heart that he did not want me to charge my speaking fee or my travel expenses and to take it to every state, my eyeballs kind of, even though it's 4 a.m., they kind of got bigger. But, you know, the only response to the Lord is, yes, sir. So I was on my knees again in my office where we have all of our conversations, or so many of them. And I just said, Lord, you know I will. But my little nonprofit ministry is by name very correctly worded nonprofit. So, you know, nonprofit ministry, the money comes out and the money goes out. It's flowing, and it's supposed to be that way. But anyway, I had no idea how God would do it. And it was at that time, if you recall, in April of 2008, gas prices went up, airline fees went up, they started charging for you to have luggage, they reduced the number of schedules, and I'm on the Advanced Writers and Speakers Association professional loop, and I started seeing all of my friends say, we're going to stop traveling to minister, we're going to minister closer to home due to the travel expenses. And I was like, not me. You know, God has me going, you know, to Kalamazoo now. But it has been a blessing for me to tell you today that I've been to 25 states with this message. But one of the things that God impressed on my heart in relation to this conference was that he wanted to have a worship song written to go with the conference. How many of you are familiar with Ancient of Days and Bend to Your Name? I knew no professional musician at the time. Sorry, David, if I had known you, I would have called you. But I didn't know any professional musicians. And everything that God was telling me to do was to be very professionally done. And so I, again, was like, Lord, how do I find a worship song or whatever? And he led me to a friend who then, Gary Sadler, the composer of Ancient of Days and Bend to Your Name, he wrote a song for the Pray with Purpose, Pray with Passion conference. Isn't it fun just to see how God does things? I say all this to encourage you. I, Debbie, had never wanted to write a book. I never envisioned that God would want me to write a book, and that book would go hand in hand with a book that Beth Moore still to this day uses for her prayers every year. She orders it, except now I know to send it to her. But I had no idea that God would have in mind for me to attend that writer's conference, and he would put these two things together, develop a conference. And we've seen so many women come to know the Lord. I constantly get emails from people saying how God has used this to change their lives. So as you are here this week, follow those promptings of the Holy Spirit. What he tells you to do, let your answer not be a halter or a hesitation. Let your answer be a very quick yes. As I continued to ask the Lord to show me what he wanted me to do, I then went on to, I was speaking in New Mexico. And again, some of you may not realize this, but most publishers are looking for someone who already has a speaking platform because they want you to be out. They want you to have a book table. They want you to be able to be selling your books. Now, I didn't know that. I was already a speaker first. But you will want to keep that in mind as you attend some of these workshops, and we'll be covering that in my session also about the practical side of writing and the marketing side of writing, how you can develop your speaking platform. But I was in New Mexico speaking, and again, this is such a praise to God. This is how God connects people and has divine appointments. I was speaking in New Mexico, and after I spoke, I sat down, and a woman came from the back and came up to me and said, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm with New Hope Publishing, and I would be interested in you writing for us. Would you possibly be interested? Now, at that time, I'd just received this contract from Howard, I suppose. I can't remember the timing of it all because it all just happened all so fast at once. But I found then she was flying from Birmingham, Alabama, to visit my office. And she then offered me a book contract. I didn't bring the books. There are two that I ended up writing for New Hope. One is called If God is in Control, Why Do I Have a Headache? And the other one, it's on Women of the Bible. And the other one is If God is in Control, Why Am I a Basket Case? So, and that is a book that's on the study of Colossians. God is just full of surprises. Stay tuned to him because you do not know what he will do. I mentioned that very first writer's conference I went to where I learned how to pitch my book ideas. And I remember the final night. I was sitting there in the closing evening session, and I was on the back row over there, kind of where David is. And this man walked in, and he sat down beside me, and he was a suit. you know, you're going to be able to tell maybe some of the ones that are the editors and the publishers. I don't know. They'll have different name tags. Are they identified in some different way here, Den? No? Okay, well, some way, I mean, he had on a suit, and nobody wears a suit at these things, right? I mean, I don't ever see anybody with a suit at a writer's conference, although I have only been to two. But y'all have been to more than me. But I could tell he was one of them. He even had a briefcase. So here he comes in, and he sits down beside me with his suit on, his briefcase, and he looks at me, introduces himself, makes some comment about how he had heard that Howard was wanting me to write for them, Howard Publishing was wanting me to write for them. Well, afterwards, he said, I'm going to the book room to put up all my books. Have you been to the, you know, where they're selling the books, and have you looked at any? I would love to show you some of my books or something like that. And so I was overwhelmed with this important person. And so I said, oh, well, yes, of course I would love to see some of your books. And so I'm in the book room. Well, you can imagine if I was hovering over you and said, would you like to see some of my books? Would you? They're right here. Here they are. I mean, would you like to buy one of my books? Anyway, Terry Whalen. How many of you know Terry Whalen? What is he? It's Terry Whalen. I love him to death. And so Terry Whalen is the person I'm talking about, and so he's showing me his different books. And I am still just, I'm just new, I'm nervous, I'm green, I don't know what I'm doing there. I'm just, all this stuff's going on within me. And so I'm looking, and so I say, oh, well, I would like to. And so I grab up two of his books, and I say, I would just love for you to sign them for me. And so he goes, okay. And he said, now who is this one to? And I said, well, this one is to my husband, Keith. And so he looks at me and he says, your husband, Keith? And I said, yes, K-E-I-T-H. And so he looks at me again and he writes, to Keith, Terry Whalen. I said, this one's my son, Taylor. And he looks at it and he says, how old is your son? And I said, he's 22. Or maybe he was older at that time, and so I spelled Taylor for him because he's hesitating. I don't know why he's hesitating. It's just on the book. And so he says, and what does your son do? And I said, well, he's in law school at Baylor University. And so he folds the books closed, and he hands them back to me, and I hustle away, and he stays there, and he boxes up his books. I'm exhausted. Wait till the end of the week. You'll be exhausted because you've been pitching your ideas and listening to all of us, and you're just going to be exhausted. I get to my room, I throw off my shoes, I throw down my briefcase, I'm just like, oh, I'm going home tomorrow, I wonder what he wrote in these books. And y'all, I have gotten him to sign two books that are children's books. Well, I am so embarrassed that I've had him write Chuck Colson to the White House for 10-year-olds, to my husband who's an attorney, and to my son who's in law school. And I think that I have to start laughing. I have to start laughing that I was just such an idiot. And so I think, well, the good thing about this is I will never see that man again in my life. I will never, ever, ever see that man again in my whole life. And I was very comforted by that thought. The next morning, I get up, and my van is not there to take me to the airport. And so I'm waiting, and all of a sudden I see a carload of women come up, and they're getting into a different van, and they've got their little things, and so I know they must be one of me. And so I just invite myself and say, do you possibly have room for me to ride on your van? And so they are like, well, yes, we do. We happen to have room. And so they say, we're just waiting for one more person. I come in the back of the van. Guess who the last person on the van was? Terry Whalen. He gets in right in front of me. And I'm just like, oh, I thought I would never see you again in my life. So you may do some stupid things here this week. I'm sure none of you will do anything that stupid. Amen. But just in case you mess up on the name of your book that you're pitching or whatever it may be, I just encourage you to know that everybody that you'll be meeting here with will be very gracious. You know, I will be very gracious because you already now know me because I've exposed myself to you. But the exciting thing is, as I mentioned, is that you and I have the opportunity to serve the risen Lord. My last two books I was also asked to write. And I have been told that my experience is very different from many people who sit in the back as I was that day. And the keynote speaker said, we have all wanted to be a published author since we were little kids. And I'm sitting back there going, not me, not me. And I also know it's very unusual that I have been asked to write my books. But you know what? God works in all different kinds of ways. You may be here and you may think that you're pitching a memoir, and you may meet with somebody and realize that you want to write a novel. Or you may think you want to be a fiction author, and all of a sudden you may attend a workshop and think, you know, I really think what God is calling me to do is to write a Bible study. So stay open to what God is doing in your lives. I would like, as we just stand here and as we sit here today and we think about what we can do, as we look at what God might want for us to do, there's two verses I'd really like to encourage you with. And your relation and your prompting to write. And first of all, we know that Ephesians 2:10 tells us that God has prepared good works beforehand for you to walk in them. So this week, I would just encourage you to say, God, I'm here. I'm your vessel. Just guide me. Throughout my day, that's what I prayed when I got to that Glorietta Writers Conference, because I didn't know what I was doing. I just said, God, you just guide me with who you want me to meet, who you want me to have conferences with, where you want me to go, where you want me to sit at meals. You guide me. And then watch for those divine appointments that God wants to set up. And then second, one of my favorite verses is Colossians 4:23. And it says that we are to do our work heartily as unto the Lord. So while you're here, you may be given some encouragement to go aside and to spend some time writing, or to put into practice some marketing tips, or to learn how to Twitter and tweet and Hootsuite and everything else. And you may think, oh, I don't like to do that. But if that is where the real world is and you need to do that, then you may have to do your work heartily as unto the Lord and learn a new set of skills that maybe you didn't anticipate before. I always like, when I go speak somewhere, I like to leave with this one question. What has God put on your heart from what you've heard so far? Because you will learn lots of skills and techniques while you're here, but God speaks to our hearts. God is spirit, and those who worship him, Jesus said, must worship him in spirit and in truth. So if you were to draw a heart, and I'm going to ask you to do that right now, draw a heart on your piece of paper. Make it big enough to where you can write inside there, how is God speaking to your heart? How is God speaking to your heart? I'm going to give you a moment. I have never before asked a group of writers to write what God was putting on their heart. Most of the time people put four words, and I just love it that y'all are just writing and writing what God is putting on your heart, I encourage you to continue writing what God is putting on your heart while you're here and as you hear each speaker, as you listen to them. What is God saying to you? We are not up here just talking about ourselves. We are because she asked us to share our stories with you because they're all different. But the relevance of us sharing our stories is to encourage you that all of our stories will be different, but the same author and perfecter and finisher of our faith is the one who is working behind them. I want to invite you to ask me any question you want to ask me. Talk to me about anything you want to talk to me about. No question is dumb, insignificant, or anything else. And I am here this week for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to serve you. So you keep that in mind. Would you join me now as we go to the Father in prayer? Oh, Lord, our Heavenly Father, how we do just thank you and praise you that you are the author of our lives. That God, when you saved us, you didn't just save us and put us on a shelf. You didn't save us and just seal us for eternity. But you, wonderful Lord, you recreated us to be new people. You sanctified us. You set us apart to serve us. You made us to be your vessels, instruments of your holiness, to be your temples through whom your glory shines. And so, Father, I just pray that you would blanket this whole Maranatha Writers Conference. I pray that everywhere a person puts their foot and where they walk, that, Lord, you will ordain wonderful divine appointments. I pray you will build genuine friendships. I pray, Father, that there will not be a self-consciousness, but, Lord, rather that there will be a God consciousness within each one of us, Lord, because we are not here to elevate ourselves. We are not here to promote ourselves. We are not here to get our name on a book cover. Lord, we are here to promote you, and we are simply the flesh and blood hand that types or writes or pens. And so, Father, I just pray that you would birth from this Maranatha Writers Conference great pieces of writing that will bring people to salvation, that will help them grow in their walk with you, that will equip them to know how to be a better mommy, daddy, parent, employer, person for your kingdom. This is a dark time, Father, and we need your light burning brightly. So use these dear men and women to show forth your light. In Jesus' name, amen. And I would like to just call to your attention that I just did what no one ever does. I finished early. But I think that when you've said everything you need to say, you need to sit down. Thank you.